Hey, welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm Amber May, also AZ Lady Z. And make sure you like and subscribe. Make sure you check the links below so you always know where I'm at, because who knows how long the YouTube lords will allow us to speak on their platform. But that's okay. That's okay, because we can be truth tellers on other platforms and they're growing like crazy. So today we're going to be talking about the why I find it so disrespectful to kneel at the national anthem. I want you to know the history of the national anthem because I think it is super important, something I never learned in school. And then when I heard about it, it brought tears to my eyes. I got very teary-eyed, and then I felt very strong about the belief of kneeling to the national anthem is super disrespectful, and you'll find out why today. I don't have a problem with people protesting. I just think that's the one thing we should reverence and not use that as a way to protest, because I find it extremely disrespectful. And before you hang up, I want you to listen to this too. But before we get started, because I think you're gonna feel the same way I do, and you might be surprised because I had no idea the history of the national anthem. And if you know it, I'm so proud of you because I'm a grown-up and I just learned about it like a couple years ago. But before we get started, I want to let you know there's a video in the links below that I want you to check out because I want to help you build legacy wealth for your family. I want to help you protect yourself if you become ill or injured and are unable to work and bring in income. I want to help you have sustainable tax-free retirement. Can you imagine tax-free retirement, people? And then, if you leave this earth too soon, like my father did, you can leave something that will protect your family. And it's hard enough dealing with the loss of someone you love on top of having to figure out how to do bills and all that stuff. So click the link below and let's talk because I'd love to help you with that. Okay, so I want to share my screen with you and I want you to watch this. Now, this video is one of my longer videos, but it's super important that you listen to this episode today. So let me do that with you. And here we go.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." Francis Scott Key said, what do you mean? He said, well, Mr. Key, he said, tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, we're going to remove it from the face of the earth. He said, how are you going to do that? He said, if you will, scan the horizon of the sea. And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, that's the entire British war fleet. He said, all of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, the war is over. These men would be free anyway. He said, you can't shell that fort. He said, that's a large fort. He said, it's full of women and children. He says, it's predominantly not a military fort. He said, don't worry about it. They said, we've left them a way out. And he said, what's that? He said, do you see that flag way up on the rampart? He said, we have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule. Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, how many ships? He said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says, the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said, it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said, suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says, from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling. Every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and he said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said, he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle. The flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he'd found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, or the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?" The debt was demanded. The price, it was paid.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets breaking, the bombs bursting.
So now, do you see why I find it very disrespectful for anyone to kneel at the national anthem? Now, if you have your cause and you want to protest, so sorry about my computer, not in my normal studio, I'm all for that. It's part of your freedoms to protest and address the government for the regents for when you're upset about something. It's your right to do so. But I think the national anthem should be something that we should kind of leave alone, because that should be reverent, that there were people like you and me, just regular people. They weren't military soldiers. They're regular American people who saw the vision of America and were willing to risk their life because the vision of America was so strong. It was so strong in their heart. The ability to be free. There's no other nation like the United States of America anywhere in the world. We are the last refuge of safety and freedom. And unfortunately, we are in a war right now, and people don't see that it's a war because there's no bullets, there's no bombs being shot, and there's no people just, dying in battle right now. But there is a war going on, and the communists want to destroy America from within. And we're going to show talk about that in another program. But they're already here and they're trying to destroy America. And a tool they use is racism. They use racism as a way to divide the nation and to say everything is racist. And not everything is racist. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing racism. I'm not racist. I don't hate anyone. I don't have hate in my heart. I either like you or I don't like you because of who you are as a person, not because of the color of their skin. And they've been indoctrinating kids for decades now to hate America. They've been indoctrinating America that we should be ashamed of who we are. I'm not ashamed of the United States of America. There was a lot of people who saw the vision of what this country could be. And then it came to be. And it came to be, and it was scary because they were against the world power at the time. That would be like someone coming, coming against us, okay? A small group of little people with a couple guns compared to a whole Navy fleet. They had the strongest Navy fleet in the world, the British did. So, when President Biden says, you guys are nothing because we have the F-150s and we have the bombs and this and that was very disrespectful, because the President of the United States is saying that against the people he's supposed to serve. He's not the king. He's the president who represents the will of the people. And that was just super disrespectful, I think. And so I just kind of wanted to share history with you because the history that we learn in school is a very anti-American history because people don't want America to be around because they don't want this refuge. They want the one percenters of every nation to come together and make one global nation, and the rest of us will be in poverty. Communism's not great. I really, if anyone knows Pastor Arthur Pavlovsky, I want him on my program. He came from communism. He was telling a story once. I heard him on one of the videos where his mom could only buy chocolate once a year, and she'd have to give it, divvy it out to her kids, and they'd each get one square of this chocolate. That's communism, where you can't choose what you want to eat. In past videos, I've shared with a veteran that fled communist Cuba. And he said you would be jailed for eating beef or lobster. Now, those things come from God. They do not come from man. So God freely gave lobster and beef for people to eat and consume. So who is a government to forbid you from doing something that God himself gave you as a gift? This is where the country is going, folks. This is where it's headed. It's right here, and now is the time. And if you don't do something about it now, we won't have a country anymore. We will be like China. We will be like Russia. We're going to be dirt poor. We won't have any nice things. We're going to be told what we can eat, when we can eat it. No freedoms whatsoever. They flash these like m the money at you now, thinking, oh, it's going to be great if we can live off the government dime. And then the prices get super high to where only the elites can afford it. And or your money's like pennies. I mean, the people in Cuba, doctors, I think someone once told me recently how much doctors in Cuba make. And I forgot the exact dollar amount. I think it's something like $30 or $60 a month. A month! A doctor. Here, doctors make a good living wage. Communism comes in, and you're going to be making 30 bucks a month because it gets super poor with communism. If you look, okay, most of us, I don't know about the 20s, the people in the 20s probably don't remember this because it happened before their time, but we all saw the Berlin Wall fall down. There was a West Berlin and an East Berlin, and the East Berliners were very poor. Russia was in control of East Berlin, I believe, and West Berlin was controlled by America. And West Berlin was thriving. They had money, people were doing well, they were living in freedom, they had food. East Berlin, and it's a city divided with a wall, west and east, and it was a huge disparity, huge. Look at Korea. North Korea under communism rule and South Korea under American rule, or freed by Americans. I don't know if we really own South Korea. I don't think we do. I think they're their sovereign nation, but it's because of the American people that they have a South Korea. Total disparity, right? Total difference. Poor, and then people have freedom and they're doing well and they thrive in South Korea. This country turns, and suddenly we're going to be like North Korea. We're going to be like the Russians. We're going to be like the Chinese who make pennies on the dollar. Thank you, NAFTA, for sending all of our stuff overseas so those people who can get pennies on the dollar, just pennies, they work really hard. Our American companies send all the manufacturing there because they get the stupidest, cheapest labor there is. Where's the outrage for those people? How come they can't make a normal living wage in China? Anyways, my whole thing was, I wanted you to know the history because if you understood the history of your America, you would have pride about where you live in your country. And they can't, they want to destroy nationalism because if they can destroy nationalism and you hate your country, they can take it over very easy. When you love your country, it's really hard for that to happen. We are being told that we are this horrible country started by slavery. But let me tell you something, slavery started in the Bible. Slavery is a sin, and sin started with the fall when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God and take the forbidden fruit. And then all of a sudden, sin came into being, and slavery is one of those things that's a sin. It started in our country, and it wasn't just black people. There were white slaves too, but you won't hear about that in your history. And then it gets abolished in our country. It gets abolished by white people. It gets abolished by white people. Every country in the world has dealt with slavery. There's not one country that was above sin that didn't deal with slavery. We are not the first, and we certainly won't be the last country. Okay? We have sex slavery going on right now. Where's the outrage with sex slavery? You want to get so mad about us having slaves? Hundreds of years ago, we have slaves now, and they're called children and women and men that are in the sex slave industry. Where's the outrage with that? Stop with this hate. I hate America. America does so much good for people. We send aid all over the world. We protect people all over the world. My dad came here because he knew it was a better country, better opportunities. My brother-in-law came here because it was better opportunities. I have direct family that are immigrants because this was a better nation than any other nation on the world. Any other nation in the world. And we cannot throw that away. So before you kneel, be respectful of the regular American citizens that believed in this nation. And just said, I love this nation so much. I know I'm going to die today, but I'd rather die and have my children live in freedom. So I'm going to sacrifice myself and I'm going to hold up that flag. I'm going to hold up that flag knowing I'm going to die today. That is some bravery that each one of us needs to have and say, you know what? Our country's worth fighting for. Be that America that held that flag up that night. And we celebrate the 4th of July because we had those people, those Americans that had the vision. I want freedom. I want you to be able to think the way you think and speak the way you want to speak and believe in a God or not believe in a God. But all that stuff goes away. The house you live in, the vacations you go on, the food you get to eat, that all goes away. That all goes away, and we're that close to it all going away. I hope you have a fantastic day, and I hope you'll respect the national anthem.